Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. This week's service is titled, How to Approach 2021. Thank you to Paul and Amy for being involved. We are currently recording services in accordance with provincial lockdown regulations. If you would like to contribute a scripture reading, prayer, or communion thoughts, please send a message through Facebook or an email to adam.sandiford@beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. Paul will be reading from Colossians as part of the sermon.
Good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. Thank you. We are pleased to be able to continue our video services even during lockdown. We are here with not many people, and that is fine. And we are glad to see as many as we have, and we are glad that you are watching us online. I'd like to begin this morning by reading a note from John, Joe, and Diane. To our dear church family, thank you so much for the beautiful flowers, cards, meals, and phone calls since Al's passing. Your prayers, kind words of support, and virtual hugs are a comfort at this difficult time. Thank you also to those who came to watch the truck procession in Al's honor last Sunday. Your presence was very much appreciated. And that's from Johnny, Joe, and Diane. So thank you to those who have been able to be involved in caring for them. We have a couple of birthdays. Since we have all come unstuck in time, these may not be totally relevant to whose birthday it is this week. But happy birthday anyways to Rebecca and Alan and probably some other people, and we'll try and get that figured out by next week. We have an opportunity for people to be involved both here in the church building, presenting a communion talk or a meaningful reading, but we also have an option for people to pre-record something on their phone or their laptop and then send that to me, similar to how we did for the Christmas story video. So if you're interested in doing that, there's a link and some information right below my face right now. Speaking of meaningful readings, I have one that was given to me I was feeling very discouraged. Some of you may know, probably many of you know, I broke my collarbone in the summer and I was getting really kind of down and discouraged about that. And a friend of mine, Eli, gave me the reading of Revelation 21:5. But I'm going to read a little bit more than that. And it was really uplifting to me and gave me something to focus on other than feeling sorry for myself. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Let's go to God in prayer now. Thank you, Lord, for this new year beginning. Thank you for the new ways we've found throughout all the unpleasantness to connect with one another, for the people reached in communion, in community, who would not otherwise have been. Thank you for showing us these new paths. Give us boldness, God, to continue to follow them and to see where you are leading us. Thank you for the people who have been involved in the ministry here in the church building and also in the calling ministry around to everyone to keep connected. Thank you for our healthcare workers among our congregation and those in Niagara and throughout the world. Thank you for the scientists working to develop vaccines and treatments for all that's going on right now. We ask for your continued guidance as we move into whatever is coming next. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning in the limited sense possible. It's also great to be with all of you in internet land. It's great to be with you this morning, and I hope everyone's holiday seasons, Christmas seasons, happy Christmas, Merry New Year, is going well and has gone well. Although this is coming out a week later. Assume I said that a week ago. This morning we are looking at Colossians 3, well, 2 and 3, but go ahead and get your Bibles and devices there. This is the last Sunday of 2020. Well, it was the last Sunday of 2020. This is going to get confusing. What will 2021 bring you? We can make likely predictions. I would suggest that winter will last forever. The pandemic will probably continue. We'll probably all get 1 year older. However, predictions are hard to make well. For example, back in 1967, experts predicted that by the turn of the century, so 2000, technology would have taken over so much of our lives, especially our work lives, that the average North American work week would be 22 hours long, and that we would only work 27 weeks of the year. And as a result, the biggest problem for our society, they predicted, would be deciding what to do with all our leisure time. Not terribly accurate. In fact, for most North Americans, working hours are tending higher, not lower. We often approach a new year with predictions and resolutions, lists of things that we will make happen in our lives. But this is not what I really want to talk about today. Predictions, in my estimation, are not all that helpful. In my experience, we don't make life happen, but rather life tends to happen to us. When those unplanned, unpredictable moments come up, the question is not what do I want to make happen, but rather how will I react and act? 2020 is a good object lesson of this. So let's turn to Colossians 3. But before we get to the third chapter, we need to look in chapter 2. It's the context for chapter 3. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." The Apostle Paul is telling the Colossians in chapter 2 and 3 that in light of their belief in Christ, they should live their lives in him, be rooted in him, and built up in him, strengthened in faith, and overflowing with thankfulness. Chapter 3 and most of chapter 2 deals with how to do this. But if we don't have an accurate idea of what it means to have received Christ, then we won't have an accurate sense of what we have to do. So Paul first reminds the Colossians, and by extension us, the full meaning of being in Christ in verses 9 through 12 of chapter 2. Apostle Paul says, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." First off, the gospel is simply and wonderfully put by the Apostle Paul in verses 9 and 10. Christ is the fullness of deity in Christ, and we are brought to that fullness. In simple terms, this is the gospel. As a consequence of this amazing gospel, Christ is over all powers and authorities, anything that exists out there. And if we are in Christ, then he has marked us, spiritually circumcised us. In that spiritual circumcision, the sin-filled, sin-controlled, sin-soaked part of us has been cut off, discarded, and in the same way we were buried in baptism as Christ was buried. We will be resurrected like Christ as well. But notice my tense here. I said, we will be raised in Christ. But what does the text actually say? The text says we were raised with him. We tend to sometimes think of being saved in the future. We tend to think of the ultimate raising as after death. But the Bible says that we have already been raised. We may understand the eternal meaning, but there seems to be an immediate meaning here as well to being raised with Christ. Colossians 3, 1 through 17 shows us what it's like to be raised in Christ today, on this planet, with imperfect people and unplanned and unpredictable situations around us. Verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Notice the Apostle Paul anchors this right back in chapter 2. Since you have been raised with Christ, and then the rest of this section is text is based on that premise. We have been raised with Christ, then this is what it looks like to be raised with Christ. He then outlines what he's going to say. Focus on spiritual things. Focus on truly meaningful things. Not on things that are only of concern for this world. The Colossians' sin-soaked lives have been hidden. Now the Colossians take on the life of Christ as their own. Verses 5 through 11 are the don't do, the negative side of the argument. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed," which is idolatry. "Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is in all and is all and is in all." If the Colossians have been raised with Christ, then do away with these things. Cut them off. Leave them in the burial. Notice that all of these negative things are relational in nature. Sexual immorality, lust, evil desires, greed, rage, malice, slander, lying. These things are all about how we treat each other. How interesting and how important is it how we treat each other? Verses 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul gives us we had the negative list, this is the positive list. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has grievance against anyone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together, all together in perfect unity." First, notice the continuation of the anchor in verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, be compassionate, have kindness, humility, gentleness, patient, be tolerant, forgive, and bind them together in love, which the Apostle Paul suggests is perfect unity." So two things here. First, notice again how all these are relational. To be raised with Christ is to be God's chosen people, is to treat each other well. Interesting how the Apostle Paul seems this is quite important. The second sometimes is how to be unified. According to the text, treating each other well in love is perfect unity. Apostle Paul then ends this section, verses 15 and 17 through 17. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Be peaceful, be thankful. The message of Christ must be in us. Teach it, admonish with wisdom. Use many different methods, the Apostle Paul suggests. Psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. I don't really know what that is exactly. But again, be thankful. Side note, third time the Apostle Paul has mentioned being thankful seems to be important. And finally, whatever we do or say, we must do it in the name of Jesus, still giving thanks. Has anyone heard of the moon illusion? Either no? Okay, have you ever noticed if you go outside on an evening someday when it's, you know, it's getting dark outside and you see the moon on the horizon, how it can be much larger than it would be normally if it was up in the sky? It actually can appear to most people to be about 1.5 to 2 times as big as it would be if it was normally up in the sky. So this was something that people from ages and ages ago have noticed and have wondered, why? Why is it bigger when it's here and it's smaller when it's up here? So in Renaissance time, the leading theory, was this was after they figured out the whole, you know, Earth wasn't the center of the universe thing and orbits, you know, spoiler alert, the Earth isn't the center of the universe. Anyway, this was when they figured out the moon orbits the Earth. So they theorized, well, okay, if it orbits the Earth, it'd just be that the orbit of the moon is not circular and it gets closer at certain points and further away at certain points, and that's why it's bigger. Makes sense? Except that the moon's orbit does not change that much to signify that much of a change in how big it is. So the second thought, a little later, was, okay, well, we notice that this only happens at the horizon. It doesn't happen up if you look up. It's only at the horizon. So what if it's something to do with, because, and if you think about the curvature, spoiler alert, the Earth is a sphere. If you look at the moon on the horizon, there's more atmosphere you're seeing through to see it because of the curvature of the Earth. You're not looking straight up through this, you're looking through that atmosphere. So the theory was, well, what if the atmosphere is kind of like a amplification lens? Because you're seeing through more air and it's distorting the image. So someone decided, and I don't know the exact thought process. You often wonder, when people make discoveries, how in the world did they think I should try this? Anyway, someone decided we should take a tube and look at the moon that is big through the tube and see what happens. So they look at the moon, it's a normal size. Well, if it was amplification through the atmosphere, that shouldn't change. So, okay, it's not amplification through the atmosphere. So someone said, okay, well, what if it's because it's near the horizon, but the effect seems to go away because you look at it through a tube, it has something to do with the horizon and its relation to the moon, and our optical processing has somehow. Anyway, no one knows why this effect to this day happens. There has been no study that has proved why this is a thing. It probably has something to do with that relation to the horizon and the moon and our image processing in some way, shape, or form. But we really don't know. But it's the moon illusion. The world, its unplanned, unpredictable events, has its way of being a moon illusion in our lives. Things can look too big. Things can look too insurmountable, too painful. And if 2020 was any indication, 2021 may continue in this theme. There can be a tendency to see the world and its problems as bigger than they are. Too big for me, too big for anyone. What can I do in the face of this? This is just too much. There is no problem too big imagined or real that is too big for Christ. And we have been raised with him. If we live like a people who have been raised, then we will be doing our part. If you've been raised with Christ today, then put off, cut out, bury all those negative relationships, actions, and thoughts, and in their place, treat people well, radically well. The text mentions forgive as God forgave us. Treat people how God has treated us with great love. In 2021, I hope and it is my resolution to all of you that we will strive to be a group of believers, followers in Christ, a gathering or congregation of Christians, wherever that may be or whatever that may look like, who are known by how they treat people. In John 13, Jesus says how the world will know that who are his disciples by loving each other. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if we do amazing things for God, faith, truth, have all knowledge, but have not love, then we're not very useful. 1 John 2, 3, 4, really all of 1 John, says that God is love. Anyone who loves his brother or sister loves God. Anyone who doesn't love his brother or sister does not know God. All of this is predicated that we have been raised, that we have been chosen by God. So first, do we believe in the gospel? Truly believe? Do we truly believe that Christ was the fullness of God? Do we truly believe that in Christ we have been made full? Not only ultimately in some future point, but today, here, now, in our given circumstances. If you can say yes to the gospel, then I invite you to join me to strive to do this in 2021. We don't know what will happen. What we do know is that we will continue to take on the life of Christ, treating each other and people around us radically well, loving to such an extent that not just that people notice, but it is our defining feature, loving to such a degree that we will achieve perfect unity. Not every thought and every action, but love for each other. So I'm not generally a fan of New Year's resolutions. They seem to me to serve mostly as a function of depression at the then seemingly continual failing to keep them. But this one seems important enough to keep. And if we individually and as a group make an effort, we can do this. And don't worry about failure. It's one of the beauties of the gospel. One of the great things about the gospel, failure has already been taken care of. It is already out of the way. All we must do is try. So for 2021, may we continue to be raised in Christ. May we treat each other radically well and love people like God loves us. Thank you.
Good morning. Some of you may remember last week we left off with a bit of a cliffhanger of a communion talk. I was talking to you about blood and about how there are lessons that we can learn from the biochemistry of blood that can relate to our faith. Last week I focused on the molecule hemoglobin, and I'm going to continue to focus on hemoglobin this week. So just a refresher in case this isn't forefront in your mind. Hemoglobin is the molecule on the red blood cell that carries oxygen. And last week we talked about how oxygen gets onto the hemoglobin. But that's really only half of the story. Because if oxygen just got onto the hemoglobin and never got off of the hemoglobin, it wouldn't be delivered to the tissues. It wouldn't do the job that it is designed to do in the body. So when these red blood cells carry the oxygen to the tissues, if a tissue is active, there are three things that are happening in the tissue. In the blood right around that tissue, the pH is more acidic, and that changes the shape of the hemoglobin and encourages the oxygen to get off. The presence of carbon dioxide in that blood also will bind and change the shape and encourage the oxygen to get off. And the absence of oxygen in the tissue draws that oxygen into the tissue. So the oxygen will leave the hemoglobin and go into the tissue to do the job of cellular respiration. Maybe that's its own thing. We won't do that today. We have heard a lot in the last year about respiratory infection. But respiratory infection is not the only thing that threatens the respiratory system. I'm going to show a picture now of carbon monoxide and oxygen. Probably a lot of you have heard of carbon monoxide poisoning. We probably all have carbon monoxide detectors in our homes. And how carbon monoxide works is actually on this hemoglobin molecule. So carbon monoxide, as you can see side by side, has one oxygen. And where an oxygen molecule would have a second oxygen, carbon monoxide has a carbon. Side by side, they look fairly similar. They're both kind of oblongy shaped. The carbon monoxide, one side is slightly bigger than the other. In terms of their masses, the difference is 0.0 23 times 6 grams. They are very similar in terms of their charge, their size, their attributes. But the difference between them is that presence of the carbon in the carbon monoxide makes the other oxygen just slightly more attractive. Just slightly more attractive to the hemoglobin. Not like a lot, but slightly more attractive. That oxygen carries slightly more charge. It's slightly more attractive. It will bind to the hemoglobin site. It will bind to that heme site. But the challenge of carbon monoxide poisoning is once it binds, it does not let go. So the oxygen will bind and will not let go. And that heme will come to tissue. It will experience the lower pH and the shape change, and it doesn't let go. And the carbon dioxide tries to bind and change the shape, and it won't let go. And there's an absence of oxygen in the tissue, but it won't let go. And it continues to cycle around and around, never letting go, and it is a slow suffocation. Why I relate this to faith, how I relate this to faith. Sometimes in our faith, we are faced with big infection-like things. We are faced with diseases that are coming into our lives that are big sins. And when that happens, we know we are in a fight for our faith. We know we are up against it. Our immune system launches spiritually. Our immune system launches in that case, and we fight for it. And not to minimize that, some people do go down in big sins. But they go down fighting, and they go down knowing what they're going down against. The challenge that I find with the carbon monoxide analogy is perhaps more dangerous for some of us than that big, spectacular sin are the almost truths, the barely lies that look so much like the gospel that we can't tell them apart, that we latch onto and we do not let go of. And we carry those and we let them take us down, slowly suffocating our faith. It is the slow fade of a faith. And it happens when we take what is almost truth, what is almost gospel, what is almost Christ, and carry that and not let it go and not let ourselves do the job. I don't have any easy answer for how to avoid that, other than prayerfully trying to discern, is this truth, is this not truth, and being open to the Holy Spirit nudging you to let go of something that it's time to let go of. Another symptom of this is if there is a need, if you are approaching a tissue that has a need and you are not responding, that is maybe a symptom that you are holding on to a false truth, and that might be time to let that thing go. Let's pray now. Dear God, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for the lessons written throughout the Bible of blood and the lessons written throughout blood of you and your character. God, we pray for discernment and wisdom to identify false doctrines that we are holding on to identify things other than you that we are letting carry our faith, and things that are preventing us from action. Give us wisdom to see those things in our lives and courage to let go of those things so that we can fulfill your will in our lives. Amen.
Well, thank you to Amy and Paul for sharing those thoughts. I'd like to close this morning with a reading from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Amen.
Because of the provincial lockdown, in-person services are canceled until further notice. please check our Facebook page for the most current updates. You can learn more about the congregation at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.